This is Sarah Lemon, author of the Whole Dish blog and food writer for the Mail Tribune newspaper in Southern Oregon. This podcast is produced for the Mail Tribune and Rosebud Multimedia. You can find it at www.mailtribune.com/podcasts and on my blog www.mailtribune.com/whole dish. The past couple of posts on my blog have really celebrated the virtues of bitter greens, which actually can be really, really great backdrops, particularly this time of year for some savory dishes, pastas and salads in particular. There are two recipes up right now that each feature a member of the chicory family, and those include things like radicchio, Belgian endive, escarole, frise, which is often called curly escarole. And those are the main ones that I've focused on. The two currently that are most recent are pasta recipes using radicchio that's sauteed instead of just raw in a salad, how people might typically eat it, and also escarole, which is also sautéed in a penne dish. Both of those are really great ways to add some greens to what otherwise would be sort of like carb-heavy dishes, some dishes with some fat. I think both of those have prosciutto and pancetta. Of course, the pork fat really pumps up the flavor of these greens. And it's a really nice contrast because they both, chicory family greens tend to be bitter, hence the name bitter greens. Escarole isn't so bitter as some of the others, but anything savory really offsets that. One of my absolute favorite dishes is what I call French bistro salad. I've also seen it called bacon and egg salad, but it's a common dish that's served in a lot of farm-to-table kind of French-style restaurants, and it's typically frise or curly endive that's been dressed with a warm vinaigrette made with bacon fat in addition to the bits of bacon, and then a poached egg is usually put on top. And when you break open that yolk, of course, and it all oozes out so beautifully, that contributes to the dressing and the overall richness of the salad. I've even taken to adding sauteed mushrooms in the bacon fat to this salad, and also half of a tomato seared cut side down in the bacon fat as well. And I've sort of tongue-in-cheek called it fried breakfast salad because the traditional British fried breakfast, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, typically incorporates some kind of meat product, sausage or bacon, baked beans, often eaten on toast, eggs, and then mushrooms and a tomato fried in the bacon fat. And this is a favorite of my husband's. We have it as a very, very occasional treat, but having it on a salad just seems a little bit more virtuous. And all these things, of course, really go together. The mushrooms add another layer of savor. The tomato adds some really nice, bright, acidic note to this. And if possible, I like to use a fresh home-baked bread that I typically get from family members who are bakers to make some homemade croutons. A store-bought crouton will do. I also like to save the heels of really good quality artisan bakery bread or home-baked bread in the freezer, then pull it out and turn that into croutons when I need them for a dish. So the bacon and egg salad comes together pretty easily. Quite honestly, one of the most laborious aspects of it is just preparing the frisée. Frisée is a really, really tightly packed head of little tiny leaves. They're almost feathery in their appearance. And toward the very, very center of that head, they will be white or just a creamy yellow and just roughly and tender and really delicious. The exterior of the head, because the leaves are so small and they just have so many little ridged surfaces, they tend to get brown very, very quickly, I find, in the refrigerator. I mean, this is a head of greens that, like radicchio, like escarole, like Belgian endive, will keep for several weeks. But in the case of frisée, it just starts to look a little tired on the very outer edges. And so I try to use just the inner leaves for this salad. Of course, if you don't want to be wasteful, use the whole thing, but it does take quite a bit of time to just pick off any, you know, wilted, browned, you know, kind of soft, you know, mushy leaves on the outside. So I leave plenty of time for the prep, for the greens, usually rinse them, immerse them in a bowl of water, and then pick over all the leaves into the basket of a salad spinner and make sure I get them spun really, really dry. You definitely don't want any water to your green, clinging to your greens when you're going to add any kind of dressing, particularly a warm vinaigrette like this. And so how this comes together is, starting with the bacon, you want to, for two servings, use about four slices of bacon. And I prefer to cut the strips crosswise into what are called lardons. They're basically just little bits of bacon. And the reason why I like them already sliced before I cook them in the pan rather than cutting the bacon after the fact or crumbling it up is it just seems like the fat really renders out a lot better if you're planning on using the fat than in the remainder of the recipe. And overall, the bacon just cooks more evenly. You have, rather than a fatty strip down the middle and some crispy bits on the outside, you'll just have a more evenly cooked piece of bacon. And of course, uniformly cut as well, which, when I prepare salads, I really like ingredients to be a uniform size. For me, that makes all the difference in whether the salad is both pleasing to the eye and on the palate. If it's a mishmash of really roughly cut ingredients that are very widely in size, the salad is not nearly as pleasing to me. So cut the four bacon strips crosswise and make sure that you have a pan heating up over medium heat for about 7 minutes. I make the mistake of putting my heat a little too high sometimes for bacon, and it can burn very quickly, particularly when it's cut in these really small pieces. So put those bacon pieces into the hot pan. No need, of course, to add any other oil to this. Plenty of fat that's going to prevent this whole thing from sticking. It's going to take about 7 minutes for these bacon pieces to crisp up. You want to stir occasionally to just keep them moving around, browning evenly. After about 7 minutes, when the fat's rendered out and they're cooked to your liking, spoon them out with a slotted spoon and drain them on some paper towels on a plate or in a bowl. You're going to probably need to pour off about half of this fat, because I've found in making this dressing that retaining too much fat keeps the dressing from emulsifying when you add the remaining ingredients. So you also want to have a pot of water simmering to poach your egg as well. And poaching eggs can be a little bit tricky if, again, the heat is turned up too high. You don't want bubbles really breaking the surface of the water. You just want to see bubbles around the edges of the pan. If the water is bubbling at the surface, you add your egg, and the white is very quickly going to disperse into kind of a mess. Potentially the yolk could even break. So you want to keep that pot really no more than kind of medium low, even to low. Sometimes I find as soon as I add the egg, I need to turn it up just a tiny bit if the egg is cold to maintain that temperature, and then maybe turn it back down just 30 seconds later. But we're going to wait on poaching the egg until we've put together the dressing and the rest of the ingredients, because you really want to poach that egg at the absolute last possible second. And it may even take some juggling to be stirring the dressing at the same time as you're handling a poached egg to get all together on the plate, because you want to serve this immediately for it to just be the best overall effect. So how we're going to have your pot of water simmering, but you're going to put together the dressing first. And more recently, I've even seen recipes calling for pouring off half the bacon fat right onto the bowl of greens, which is great if you really want that wilted effect. And in fact, I've even found that some of the versions of the salad that I've made at home, the greens even seem a little bit too crunchy. So that might be something I recommend if you're really going for that wilted greens kind of texture. Otherwise, if you really want a bright, crispy, vibrant salad green experience, leave the greens undressed until you're going to pour on the finished dressing. And how that comes together is fairly simple. It basically involves adding vinegar to your pan with your remaining bacon drippings, which is about half of the amount that was rendered down from the strips of bacon. You're going to add about three teaspoons of balsamic vinegar, I would say three to four, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of a tablespoon plus a teaspoon. I personally like my dressings more tart, and I also find balsamic vinegar sometimes a little too sweet. So I'm fond of sort of combining balsamic and red wine vinegar, kind of cutting that balsamic flavor with the red wine vinegar. So you can even do, 2 teaspoons balsamic, 2 teaspoons red wine vinegar right into the bacon fat in the skillet. And then you're going to add about a teaspoon of sugar. The dressing should have plenty of salt from the bacon. If your tastes do tend more towards salty food, you could add no more than a half teaspoon of salt. But I would taste it first. And particularly if you want to add mustard to the dressing, which is another flavor that I really like, add about 2 teaspoons of mustard, whisk it into the vinegar, bacon fat, sugar. That will also add a salty note as well. So you have those 3 ingredients, vinegar, sugar, possibly mustard in the skillet. Add just a little less than a teaspoon of water. Stir it all up, and you want to bring this up to a boil and cook it for 30 seconds until it's thickened. And it should emulsify. Again, if the ratio of bacon fat to vinegar is correct. I have had an issue, as I mentioned, with leaving too much bacon fat in the skillet, and the dressing just doesn't ever really emulsify. So at this point, you have your prepared frisée. You're going to use about 2 cups of the greens, which should certainly have more than that from 1 head of frisée in each bowl. Use somewhere in the neighborhood of 1/4 cup croutons for each portion. Again, these could be store-bought or homemade. And now you want to poach your egg. And again, do it at the last second, serve this immediately. And so the best way to transfer your egg to simmering water is to first crack it into a small dish of some kind. I like to use a ramekin, also called a custard cup. The traditional ramekin usually has straight sides for baking souffles in, but Pyrex has for many years made a sloped-sided custard cup that is commonly sold with its mixing bowl and measuring cup sets. So you may have something like that on hand. A small dish used for dipping olive oil would work as well, or some kind of small saucer, like a teacup-sized saucer. Anything with rounded sides is going to be a little bit easier than one with straight sides, but I use a ramekin. Crack your egg into your dish and then gently tilt it into the water. Just let the edge of the container break the water of the surface, pour in the egg. And again, you want your water at the low simmer so bubbles aren't breaking the surface and dispersing that egg white. The white should immediately start to coagulate around the egg yolk. And of course, the white cooks more quickly, leaving the egg yolk runny. This is going to cook about 3 minutes. It's important to keep an eye on it. When the surface of the egg white starts to show yellow, where the egg yolk is, you can be pretty much assured that it's getting close to being done. You don't want to overcook this. It's not a, you know, soft cooked egg. You can even kind of go to hard cooked very quickly. But you can start to test it by lifting it out gently with a slotted spoon. If the surface of the egg white is still shiny and clear and looks like it's running through the slots of the spoon, it's not done. Gently lower it back into the water. I often test mine like this maybe a couple times. When you pull it up and it's finally totally opaque and solid, the white being, I take a paper towel and I press it up to the slots in the spoon and make sure I'm draining off as much water as possible before I'm putting this on top of my salad. I like to do poach eggs one at a time. I'll poach one, first person gets the portion of salad, poach another one, takes another 3 minutes, and that second salad is going to sit there a little bit longer. The greens are going to wilt a little bit longer. You know, again, sometimes I find that this salad is maybe not quite moist enough with the quantity of dressing, again, depending on how moist you like your salads, how dressed you like them. I'll drizzle on a little bit of extra olive oil over the top of my egg, over my salad greens, do a little grind of Himalayan pink salt on top of the egg, and, you know, or maybe a sprinkling of some kind of nice sea salt, like a Selkie gray salt. And just a little dash of paprika is really, really nice, of course. A beautiful contrasting flavor with the egg and really, really plays up the flavor of the bacon. Freshly ground black pepper is nice. Crack that right over the top. You could even add it to the dressing as well. And when you break open that egg yolk, it's just going to ooze beautifully over all the other ingredients. This is a fairly simple salad, not that many ingredients. The star is really the egg here, mixing with all those delicious greens, enriching them, and making for a really unique salad experience. I think that's a perfectly hearty main dish for wintertime. So that recipe was posted to my blog back in April of 2008, nearly a decade ago. You can find it by entering Frisée in the search field in the top right-hand corner of the blog's homepage. Press enter and you'll scroll through maybe not quite half a dozen entries to get to this one from April 2008. You can also select from the archives in lower down on the right-hand corner. There's a pull-down menu and you can select April 2008 as well to find this post with the headline, Perfectly Poach Your Eggs. And that's another recipe for using frisé, lovely bitter green. Find recipes for linguine with prosciutto, radicchio, and arugula, and wilted escarole and penne on my blog at www.mailtribune.com/wholedish. Those are the two current posts. Thank you.